Hey, good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us tonight for our Wednesday night Bible study. It's good to see those that are already logged in tonight. Claire, good to see you. Wayne, Sandra, Don, hey, I'm sure Jeanette's on there as well. So, Lord bless you guys. Good to be back. Missed you guys last week. I know we had online service, but actually it was a recorded one from before. I had been out of town for this past week. Went to Arizona to be with our family and to dedicate our grandson this past Sunday. Had a great week, but we sure did miss everybody from being with you Sunday. Appreciate Pastor Augustine for filling in for me. I know he always does a great job, and yeah, he's back here cheerleading right now. Amen. But it was a great word. I was able to listen to some of that word from Sunday, and man, it was powerful. And we're going over, right? We're going to go to the other side, he said, and I appreciate that. So, hey, God bless you, man. It's a beautiful day, and we're going to get started this evening. And as we go into our, we're going to start a new series beginning tonight. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. Do know that, man, Easter's coming up in a couple of, two Sundays. So it's hard to believe that it's already almost the end of March. But we're going to just honor the Lord with that. I invite you to come this Sunday and the next Sunday. I'm actually finishing up a series in the next couple of weeks on the four types of faith. Sure want you to come and be a part of that. I believe that God's going to speak to us in this Easter season on the power of faith. And so please join us at Sunday mornings at 10:30. Right now, we're still at the Holiday Inn Express off of I-30, the St. Francis exit. So join with us on that. We'd love to have you be there and come with us and join us on that. Also, this Saturday from 3 to 5, our prime timers. Our seniors group, I don't know what actually connotates a senior's age anymore. I think that age change. I keep telling them that I'm not in there yet. I keep moving the age up and up for them. But we're having just kind of an outside grilling outside the church in the parking lot. We got some brisket, some meat that's being fixed. So from 3 to 5, going to be some fellowship, some games. I'm sure there'll be a small devotion as well, but I want you to come be a part of that. Don and Jeanette have been working to get this set up. If you've signed up to bring something, bring what you signed up to bring. So we'll have everything that we need as far as food is concerned. You know what that is, so we'll just leave that up to you. We'll send out a reminder here maybe tomorrow just to remind you about coming to that. So don't forget, that's Primetimers this Saturday from 3 to 5, okay? Amen. Lord bless you. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Hey, Cheryl, good to see you joining tonight. I know that Clara has asked prayer. She's having a surgical procedure done. I want to say, Clara, I'm sorry if I missed the date this Friday, but let's pray for her. I know she's been having some issues with AFib, and so we want to lift up Clara tonight in prayer and just ask the Lord to bless her. I know there's other needs out there, too, so I want to pray for whatever those are, whatever you have. Definitely just take them to the Lord in prayer, and let's just ask God to be with us and just to touch us. Amen. I believe God is a prayer-answering God. Do you believe that? Amen. So join with me tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started tonight into our teaching. Father, thank you tonight. Lord, for this another day you've created for us, another opportunity for us to come study your word, just to share with one another and just to be encouraged by what you want to say. And Lord, I just pray that you're the one speaking tonight, not me, but it's your voice, your words, your spirit that's speaking through me, Lord, to reveal what you want to say to us tonight, to encourage and strengthen our faith, disciple us, Lord, to grow and walk with us. Just pray for all the people that are listening tonight, Lord, that have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive, and minds to comprehend, Lord. I just pray for those that are in need, that have situations with their bodies, Lord. I pray for sicknesses to be removed. I pray for Clara as she gets ready for this test, Lord, that you just, God, bring her heart back into perfect rhythm. God, I just pray for complete healing in that situation, Lord. I just command that heart just to come into order right now. And for all the needs, Lord, I just speak life over them. Order, Lord. God, just remove every sickness and disease and just bring health and healing to your people tonight. Soul, body, spirit, mind, and heart. Even financially, Lord, whatever people have need of. Just give you praise tonight and ask you to just order this service tonight in all things. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hey, glad you're here tonight. Like I said, we were gone this past week, Arizona. Thank God for airplanes, right? It sure makes that trip a lot shorter. But just enjoyed a wonderful time with our family, but also in service. We were in service Wednesday night. We were in service Sunday morning. And, man, we were ministered to in word and just a presence of the Lord in worship. So we were worshiping, maybe 2 hours different than y'all, but we were worshiping the Lord. And we were just enjoying some quality time with the Lord and with this church as well. So, okay, 2 o'clock Saturday, Clara, on the 28th. Okay, well, I'm sorry I missed that date and time on that. I knew that the note had come in. So remember that for Clara. The 28th at 2 o'clock is when she has her heart procedure there for the AFib. So we'll be praying for you, girl. Love you. Glad y'all made it back safely from your trip as well. Tonight I want to start a series about the covenants of God. And this is going to be part one, but I just believe there's something powerful about the covenants that God made with us throughout Scripture. You know, we take the Bible, we have the Old Testament, the New Testament, which is really an old covenant and a new covenant, but in the midst of that old covenant, there are covenants that God made with individuals and with the nation of Israel that I believe we can learn some things for, because I believe that what was written for us in the Old Testament is for our learning today in the new, right? Amen. The old was a foreshadow of what was to come through Christ, and Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So God is amazing, and so we're going to try to walk through this some and study some of these covenants that God made with his people. Tonight's just going to be kind of an intro night, if you don't mind, for just the next few minutes. I just want to share some things about covenants tonight. Let me just ask you this question to begin with. Does anyone watching tonight have a relationship with God? Does anybody watching have a relationship with God? Maybe I could ask it this way. Is anyone watching tonight ever come into an agreement with God? If you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and life, then what? You've come into an agreement with God, right? Maybe I can say it even this way. Is anyone watching tonight ever made a promise to God? You know, if you chose to follow the Lord and you promised God that you would give him your heart, you would give him your will, your ways. You would follow him, you know. And sometimes we make promises we can't keep. And you know, promises, some people say. But I believe that for the believer that had a sincere change of heart and that had a sincere commitment with God, you made a promise that really you've intended to keep. Even if you failed at times, your heart has always been to honor the promises that you made with him. Do you know that God has invited us to have a relationship with him? He's invited us to come into an agreement with him. Matter of fact, when we come into an agreement with God and when we walk in this relationship with God, then guess what? We get to enjoy the promises that God has faithfully committed to us. Aren't you thankful for the promises of God? That scripture said all the promises of God are what? Are yes and amen. So be it. I'm going to tell you what, friends, God never retracts on his word. Amen. God never turns back on what he has promised us. But if there is any disagreement in these consolations, any disagreement in this relationship or commitment with God, then guess who's at fault? It's not God. It's us. You see, we call this relationship, we call this agreement, we call these promises of God as being in covenant with God. You know, this past week when we had this dedication service for little Judah at Radiant Church there in Surprise, Arizona, there was a Hebrew phrase that the Lord had brought to my attention, and it's called Lador Vidor. Lador Vidor. And it means from generation to generation. It means that we learn from our past in order to create a future. You know, friends, what God has taught us in the past, amen, is for our future. You know, God didn't want his promises and his plans and his covenants to dissipate with one generation, but God wanted every generation. Matter of fact, you know, Moses even commanded the children of Israel in Deuteronomy as they were getting ready to go across the promised land. He wasn't going to be able to go with them this time, but as he was commanding them, and not only commanding them, he was warning them, don't forget the commands that the Lord has taught you. Don't forget the experiences that you have walked through. Some you have enjoyed, maybe some have been difficult, but they are memories to you. And you know what he tells the children of Israel? He says, I need you to tell your children and your children's children of all these things that God has commanded you, to remind them of all the memories and experiences that you have walked through. You see, friends, it's not just for us to remind our children, but I think this is powerful, but it's for us to also remind our children's children. Maybe one day if you live long enough and your children's children have children, then you'll get to remind your great-grandchildren of all the things that God has spoken in your life, of all the promises that God has given you, of your experiences, not because you want your children to live in your past, but because you want to speak into their future. You want them to walk into the thing that God has for them. You see, the promised land was a great experience that God wanted his people to experience if they followed his covenants, if they walked in agreement, if they kept his promises. God had a future for them. Moses wasn't trying to take them back to Egypt. He so desperately wanted to get them across the Jordan River. It was their own fault they didn't get there any sooner. But there was a covenant, and we'll look at some of these covenants in the next few weeks that God had created for people. Hey, Star, good to see you tonight. That God had created for his people to follow after. Roger Sherman said this. He says, "I believe a visible church to be a congregation of those who make a credible profession of their faith in Christ and obedience to him and are joined by the bond of the covenant." You see, friends, what's so beautiful about the church is that we are all in covenant with the Lord. Amen. We have all come into an agreement. You know, really, when we talk about a covenant and an agreement, we're talking about a partnership with God. Amen. God has given us the wonderful joy of walking with him, of sharing in the wonderful blessings that God has created for our enjoyment here on earth and ultimately for everlasting eternal life. Maybe some of you remember David Wilkerson, the one who pastored the great church in New York City off of Times Square and the one who started the Teen Challenge program. He said this, he said, "God's covenant with the church and Israel is unbreakable." God's covenant with the church and with Israel is unbreakable. Friends, can I tell you, God can't break his word on you. God can't go back on his covenant with you. Amen. He didn't break the Old Testament covenants. He fulfilled them through his son Jesus, who became the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. The psalmist said this in Psalms chapter 103, verses 17 and 18. He said, "But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation," here it is, "his salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, to those who obey his commands." I don't know about you parents. I don't know about you grandparents or even you great-grandparents, but I want my children's children, I want my children's children's children to experience the faithful covenant of God that I have experienced by obeying his commands. Come on, friends, we need to be a living, walking testimony, don't we? Let our lives reflect who Jesus is so that our children and our children's children and our children's children's children to 1,000 generations can walk in the blessings that God has bestowed upon you and I. You see, friends, God's love does not alter with our alterings. God's love does not change with our changes. There never was a time when God did not love you. There never was a time when his mercy was not everlasting. There was never a time when he will love you less than he loves you right now. God's love is the greatest, friends, and he can't love you any more, and he can't love you any less than he always loves you. You see, these promises of everlasting love and mercy that the psalmist talks about are given with conditions, though. You see, the promises that we keep, that God has made with us and we have made with God, are made to those who fear him, to those who keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments and do them. You see, friends, if we're going to walk in covenant with God, then we've got to keep the covenant of God. We've got to fear the God of the covenant. That's a respectful fear. That's a reverence fear. We've got to remember what he's asked us to do and do it. Sometimes we want the benefits of being in a covenant relationship with God, but we don't want to fulfill our part by keeping His covenant promises and by keeping His commands. We can say, well, God's grace covers it all. Yes, God's grace does cover it all, but don't take God's grace for granted, friends. God's grace is amazing, but obey God. Walk with God. Follow God. Keep His covenant promises. Keep the commands, friends. I believe that the commands of God are still good. They bring life and health. They bring wisdom and strength. They bring peace of mind. When we obey God, there's such a peace of mind to know that we are doing God's will and following God's purposes. Let me ask you the question tonight. What is a covenant? What is a covenant? Well, a covenant is a relationship between two partners who make binding promises to each other and work together to reach a common goal. What is the common goal for us? It's heaven, right? Amen. It's eternal life with our Lord and Savior and with our Father above. Covenant promises and covenant relationships are often accompanied by oaths, by signs, and even by ceremonies. Covenants define obligations and commitments, but they are different from a contract because they are relational and personal. You know, you can sign a contract on a number of things, whether it's a house or a car or if it's some kind of work agreement, but that doesn't mean there's very much relational involvement there, or there's very many personal things. Sometimes a contract is just a contractual agreement that you have signed for the next 30 years that you're going to have to pay on the house. Not that you want to, but there's a contract. But think of a marriage. A husband and a wife, they choose to enter into a formal relationship. They bind themselves together, one with another, in lifelong faithfulness and devotion. And then what do? They work as partners to reach a common goal, like building a life together, like raising children together. What a beautiful example of a covenant, friends. You know, friends, when we say those marriage vows, we're not just saying them before a bunch of people or before a justice of the peace, but we're saying them before God. We're making a covenant to God. It's more than just a written piece of paper. There's a heartfelt agreement, I should say, with the spouse that we're saying these vows to, that we will honor these vows and we will fulfill these vows for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. What a powerful covenant that is. And of course, the marriage covenant is just what? It's just a reflection of the covenant that we have with our Lord and Savior. Amen. When He becomes when He's the groom and we're the bride, right? And when we come into this marriage relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, you see, covenant relationships are found all throughout the Bible. There are personal covenants between two individuals, like David and Jonathan. We'll look a little more at that in a minute. There are political covenants between two kings or two nations, like King Solomon and King Hiram. There are legal covenants within a nation itself, laws regarding things they should observe or not observe. You know, and when you enter into covenants, there's a major part of what it means to live in the ancient Near East. When we look at covenants tonight, amen, we can see that this is just something that at this day and time specifically that these Near East people, the Israelites and those in Palestine, this was a part of who they were. So when God spoke covenant relationships into their lives, this was a structure that they could really already easily understand because they were already living in these covenants with one another and with nations and with people and family members. You see, a covenant in the ancient world was similar to what we in the modern world would call a contract, a treaty, or a will. It is said that each covenant established the basis of a relationship. It established conditions for that relationship. It established promises and conditions of the relationship and also the consequences if those conditions were unmet. Maybe one of the most familiar examples, as I've said already, of a covenant relationship of the blessings and the promises and even the consequences are those of a covenant marriage. So why do I think understanding covenant is so important? Maybe because the covenants themselves provide the skeletal framework for how the whole biblical story unfolds together. You see, friends, if you're really going to understand God's word, if you're really going to understand Genesis to Revelation, if you're really going to understand what the Bible says and how it fills in the gaps, then you've got to understand a covenantal relationship with God. Because God establishes covenants, amen, so that we can understand his redemptive plan for mankind throughout history. It's just one of those words. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, covenant is a weighty theme that dominates scriptures. Matter of fact, let me just give you some things here about just some natural covenants here. When the Bible mentions a covenant, it's referring to a strong, solemn agreement between two parties. In other words, covenants, first of all, make two into one. You see, when two parties make a covenant in the Bible, they are joined together and they identify with each other. They may even exchange coats or have a commemorative meal and erect a lasting memorial to their promise. But at the very core, there's a change in relationship. As David and Jonathan made this covenant in 1 Samuel chapter 18, there was this involvement where David gave him his coat and made this covenant promise that they would be friends. And Jonathan made this covenant promise to David that he would watch out for him and take care of him. And he would remember him when Saul, his dad, was so intent on destroying David's life and from keeping him from coming into the throne as king of Israel. You see, covenants make two into one. Covenants also involve promises. Can I tell you that people don't just join together at random? Usually there's an agreement that includes some kind of practical application. Sometimes it means not harming one another. You know, if you go over to Genesis chapter 31, and I'm going to turn over there for a minute, because here's the story of Laban and Jacob as Jacob has fled with his wives, and Laban catches up with him here in this story. And you can begin to read some of this down in chapter 31 as Laban pursues Jacob. And you get down to verse 43, then Laban replied to Jacob, "These women are my daughters, Leah and Rachel. These children are my grandchildren, and these flocks are my flocks. In fact, everything you see is mine, but what can I do now about my daughters and their children?" Look what he says. "So come, let's make a covenant, you and I, and it will be a witness to our commitment." So Jacob, in verse 45, took a stone and set it up as a monument. Then he told his family members, "Gather some stones." So they gathered stones and piled them in a heap. Then Jacob and Laban sat down beside the pile of stones to eat a covenantal meal. To commemorate the event, Laban called the place Jagar Sahudutha, which means witness pile in Aramaic. And Jacob called it Galeed, which means witness pile in Hebrew. Then Laban declared in verse 48, "This pile of stones will stand as a witness to remind us of the covenant we have made today." This explains why it was called Galeed, witness pile. But it was also called Mizpah, which means watchtower. For Laban said, "May the Lord keep watch between us to make sure that we keep his covenant when we are out of each other's sight. If you mistreat my daughters or if you marry other wives, God will see it even if no one else does. He is a witness to this covenant between us." You know, basically Laban was threatening Jacob in a sense. But you know, I'll be honest with you, if it was my girls, I would be doing the same thing. You know, if I felt like that, you know, that their lives could be in danger, or if I didn't really, you know, I think Laban was just jealous because, you know, he saw what God had done for Jacob. He saw how God had blessed him and just, man, multiplied his sheep and his cattle and all the things, and how he had just overwhelmed even Laban's own shepherds and own livestock. God was so good to Jacob because, you know, God had a plan for Jacob. He had a covenant with Jacob, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there's this covenant between these two individuals where promises are made, and even in some cases where there might be an application if one was to harm another one. You see, covenants also involve families and bloodlines. In the Bible, two parties may make a covenant that is intended to last for generations. The following generations are automatically included in this covenant, and they share in the duties and the benefits. For example, when David made this covenant with his friend Jonathan, after Jonathan died, he still cared for Jonathan's relative, Mephibosheth. And even though Mephibosheth was crippled And even though Saul, Jonathan's dad, was one that always tried to take David's life, David was kind to Saul's grandson, to Jonathan's son, and brought Mephibosheth in and set him at the place at his table and fed him from the king's food. You see, there was this involvement because of a covenant that David had made with Jonathan concerning his relationship there and concerning his children and children's children. Friends, covenants are powerful, aren't they? They don't have to be Hatfields and McCoy type covenants. Amen. But they can be covenants of peace and joy, of happiness, of just blessing and favor. And here's another one. Covenants also can be spiritually charged. You see, when Jacob and Laban, they agree to keep the peace, they don't just say, I'll do this, you'll do that, okay. They call God as a witness. David and Jonathan called God as a witness between them two. Covenants were taken seriously and for good reason, because two people were joining together and with just a little more than their words. They had to trust that there was a divine being that would hold the other one accountable to this covenant. Friends, can I be honest with you? We're going to be held accountable to the covenant agreement that we have made with our Father through His Son, Jesus. You know, one day we're going to have to stand before Him and we're going to have to answer for how we treated this covenant that He made with us by giving His only begotten Son. And we'll look at that in a few weeks, at the covenant that was made in the New Testament between Christ's blood and the cross and Calvary. As we're coming into Easter, that's just a good reminder to know that our Father made a covenant with us through His Son. And as we celebrate this Palm Sunday coming up, Resurrection Sunday the week after, we're just reminded that we are in a covenant with our Almighty God because of what His Son Jesus has done for us. Can I tell you, last of all, that covenants are not easily broken? You see, the people making covenants, they would often slaughter animals to demonstrate what should happen to the one who breaks the covenant. To break a covenant was really a serious thing. You know, Jonathan even called on God to kill him if he didn't alert David of any danger. When Saul breaks a covenant, his forefathers swore to the Gibeonites, God punishes Israel with a 3-year famine in 2 Samuel 21. You see, covenants were meant to be binding, were meant to be lasting, and they weren't meant to be taken for granted. Can I tell you, friends, that Jesus Christ, He died for us. He shed His blood for us to bring us into a covenant of peace and joy and everlasting life. We who once were overcome by sins and the cares of this world now live in freedom and victory because of what the Lord has done for us. So when the Bible speaks of a covenant, it's not just an alliance. There's really more to it than just a transactions of services and goods, but it's rather a bond between God Himself and us His people. Come on, friends. Are you seriously in a relationship with God? Are you seriously walking in agreement with Him? Are you seriously living in the promises that He has prepared for you and planned for you? Are you walking in covenant with God? You know, there are really two main kinds of covenants in the Bible, and one of them is the covenant between man and man, and that's really what we've talked about here for just the last few minutes, the covenants that man makes with man, whether it's through family ties or through working relationships or just friendships, how God uses people to join together, and they make these covenants so that they can be binding contracts between each other. But there's also the covenants that God makes between Himself and man, between God and man. And these really are the important ones, the ones that shape the story of the Bible that we'll be looking at for the next few weeks. I mean, they are the things that God uses as His own witness. You see, when a man swears an oath, he swears by something higher than himself. But can I tell you, when God makes an oath, it's on Himself. He's the highest there is. There's no other option, friends. God can't swear by any higher when He makes a covenant oath with us. Friends, can I tell you that some of God's covenants are completely unconditional? They're not sustained by human performance. You see, when God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, He didn't require anything from Abraham. His covenant with David was unconditional as well. Amen. Come on, friends, when we just follow Him, amen, when we just obey Him, when we just walk in His blessings in fullness, God will fulfill His part of the covenant agreement. And that's what the Bible is shaped around. It's shaped around the covenants between God and man. And that's how you get from the Old to the New Testament. That's how you fill in the gaps to see what God has been doing from Genesis all the way through the Gospels to Jesus Christ, all the way to Revelation. God is building his kingdom. One writer said it this way: God is building his kingdom on earth, and he's doing it through covenants with his people. How is God going to build the kingdom of God on earth? You know, the Bible says we should pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But how does that happen? Through people that are in covenant with him, that are praying, that are asking him, and that are working and serving him and walking in fellowship. And I've been encouraging you to do that as well. Don't just say you have faith, but put feet to your faith. Walk out your covenant with God. Amen. Let actions speak that your faith is alive and not dead. Amen. Let's help God build his kingdom. He's called us. I know that God is the one that builds his church, but he's chosen us to work as partners with him, to come into agreement with him. Amen. To build the kingdom of God here on earth with this covenant relationship. Come on, friends. There are people that need to have a covenant with God. And I believe that God's waiting for us to reach out to them, to bring them into this covenant agreement. We can do it. God is with us, right? He is for us. Covenants are sacred. Can I just say this? I'm going to finish up here really quick. But covenants are sacred. Matter of fact, the Hebrew word for covenant is berith. And the Greek word is diatheke. The root word for berith means to cut. Because of the way that some covenants were made early in history, there was a cutting away of the flesh, of the foreskin. We know that God spoke through Abraham and Isaac and just how he kept that agreement through the years. There was a blood covenant as Jesus hung on the cross. Amen. As he had been cut and ripped and nailed and crowned and pierced with a sword, there was that cutting away of the flesh where blood and water flow to what? To solidify the covenant relationship that the Father had made with us. Can I tell you, friends, covenants are sacred. And I would just encourage you tonight to take your covenant relationship with God serious. Amen. We're going to be looking at different covenants from Adam to Abraham to Moses to David to the new covenant with the Lord through the next few weeks. And we're going to see how God instituted these covenants and what they meant for those then and there and what they mean for us here and now today. But can I just encourage you to take God's word seriously? Because really, covenants are about a word of God that has been spoken in our lives and a connection with that word as God's children, agreement, a partnership, a relationship. Man, God loves you so much, and I'm so thankful that you're connected to him, and I'm so thankful that you're connected to this church, and I'm so thankful that, you know, even if it's in a hotel, that we can all come as covenant partners, and we can enjoy the covenant relationship we have with God in a setting of worship and praise, and in a setting of hearing God's word and praying and encouraging one another. So can I just encourage you, don't skip out on this covenant relationship. Take it seriously. Amen. Man, if you make a mistake and something happens and you feel like that you failed, God will just, come on, just come back to the covenant partnership and make it right. You know, sometimes you just got to come back to the table with the one that you're in agreement with and say, you know what, I've messed this thing up. Can you forgive me? Will you help me renew this covenant promise and blessing and relationship that you have with me? And God is so faithful, friends. Like I said before, he can't love you anymore. He can't love you any less. Amen. He's a merciful God, a forgiving God. He's a loving Father. And everything that he gives us from Genesis to Revelation is for our benefit. Let's pray tonight. Can we do that? Father, I thank you. God, I thank you that you've created this covenant that we can walk in, Lord, as New Testament believers, Lord, the new covenant, Lord, that's because of the blood and the body that was nailed to the cross and the blood that was shed for our sins and our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for all the foreshadowing from the old to the new, Lord, the commandments and all the things that you walked your nation, your people through to give us this joy that we have today, Father, in this covenant relationship. God, I thank you for our partnership. God, I just thank you for relationships and promises, Lord, that you have created for us and just commands that you've given us as your children to follow those commands, to walk in your ways. and to lean upon you and trust in you even when we don't understand what's going on. Lord, we bless you tonight, and we just know that, Lord, you're so faithful and so good. And I know you love us so much more than we could ever love you, but just know that we love you tonight, Lord, and we just want to follow you faithfully. And Lord, if somebody's watching tonight that's walked out of their covenant relationship with you, Lord, just bring them back. God, just draw them, Lord. You said, if I be lifted up, I draw men to me. Just draw them, Lord, back to you. Draw those that have never come to you to you. God, may they, as the soldier that knelt at the feet of Jesus at the cross, said, surely this is the Son of God. Surely this was the Son of God. Lord, I pray that you would speak to people's hearts tonight, Lord, and help people to walk in that faithful covenant relationship that you've given them. And I just give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, Lord bless you for joining me. Hey, Stephanie, good to see you. Mom, good to see you tonight. Just kind of scrolling here for just a minute. Judy, good to see you as well. And I know that sometimes I don't see all the names that pop up on there, but thanks for being a part of our service tonight, and just encourage you, just be faithful. And amen. Don't forget about the love of God and the promises of God that he has for you. And God will never renege on his covenant promises and contract with you. So follow him. Amen. God's going to carry the load, friends. You just follow him. Just do your part. God's part is so much bigger. You know, if we just obey, God will bless us and bring healing and health and victories and all the things that he's promised us. And I know Pastor shared a good word with you Sunday morning about some things that's been going on and why he's had some wonderful experiences in Mexico. But God's been doing some things also here. I don't know if he shared. Maybe I'll share Sunday about something that took place here about a week or so ago. That God revealed to a couple of people that came and prayed at our church, and a word from the Lord, and just something else that took place. I think you'll be encouraged to know that the enemy doesn't like what we're doing, but God is faithful, friends, and God has a plan. And we're in covenant with God, not the enemy, right? And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Love you guys. Have a great night. See you Sunday morning at 10:30. Thank you.